Turn your Bibles again with me to John chapter 11. I'll be reading the account of the death and raising of Lazarus. This is a long account in John's Gospel. Chapter 11 is a long chapter, and the story goes even beyond that. So for the sake of time and focus, there are a lot of themes we could address in this chapter. We won't read the entire chapter, but we will begin with verse 1, and I'll tell you where we're going to skip around a little bit. John 11, verse 1, hear the word of God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. And look at verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Also verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then finally, verses 38 and following. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. We'll end our reading of God's word there. I was listening to the radio several months ago, and I came across an interview. That interviewer was interviewing Rabbi Kushner. Probably many of you have heard of him. He's most famous for his book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And Rabbi Kushner had a son die kind of unexpectedly and in a horrible way. And this was what prompted his consideration of this question. Now, the interviewer asked Rabbi Kushner at one point, she said, you know, maybe God used the death of your son to bring about this book and all the good that's come from it from the perspective of the interviewer. And the rabbi stopped her and said, No, you don't understand. The whole point is, and this is his answer to the question of why bad things happen to good people. The whole point is God had nothing to do with the death of my son. I can't think of a more depressing answer than that. But this is actually what much of the church teaches even today. I've heard this repeated a number of times since then. But is this the God that we serve? A God who gives us good things, but sits back and wishes us well in our trials? Do we expect to see God's hand and His glory simply in the blessings of this life? Or do we expect to see His hand and His glory even in hard things? In all things, good and bad. Well, in John chapter 11, we have some of these same questions. We have a family who's distraught over the loss of one of their members in death. And they need to trust Jesus. He says that it's for their sake that Lazarus died and that they will see God's glory. We also have the disciples who are confused about Jesus going back to Judea, where there are people who would try to kill him. They too must follow and trust Jesus. And I want you to be encouraged as well to follow and trust Jesus in all things and know that you will see the glory of God. Let's look again at this story. Mary and Martha come to Jesus telling him that Lazarus is ill, and Jesus responds in verse 4 saying, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God might be glorified through it." The first thing we need to understand, though, is that all things are for God's glory. All things are for God's glory. Jesus came to display God's glory, and so that people would believe. This was the purpose for his miracles. Jesus' miracles are not simply so that we would have good little stories to tell to our kids. They weren't even simply just acts of kindness towards sick people. Listen to the summary of Jesus' first miracle at the wedding in Cana from John chapter 2. It says, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee." And here's listen to the purposes. "And manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." It was to manifest his glory that his disciples would believe in him. Well, Jesus not only does miracles that have as their purpose displaying God's glory, but Jesus is, in fact, himself God's glory. John tells us this in his introduction to his gospel. In chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So God's glory is seen in Jesus. It's seen in his miracles. The Bible is also clear that God's glory is and will be seen in us, in his people. In the Old Testament, God specifically manifested his glory at the temple. This is where God's people went to meet with God and see his glory in a special way. But the prophets speak about a day when God's glory would be seen in his people in this way. And we understand from the New Testament that we are the temple of God now, particularly as the gathered people of God. We are the new temple. Turn with me, if you would, briefly to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's because of this that Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." As we behold God and experience his glory, we reflect that glory. And in an increasing way, from one degree of glory to another. It doesn't fade. There's a reference here to Moses and his veiled face. Moses came down from the mountain with glory shining so much that he had to wear a veil, but he eventually took that veil off. The glory faded. We show God's glory with unveiled face, and it only increases in our lives. So see God's glory in Jesus, in His miracles. Don't fail to see God's glory in everything, but also understand that God's glory is to be seen in you. The world is to see God's glory in you. Are they seeing that? Well, secondly, this is true even in our trials. This is true even in our trials. And those single verses that we read, verse 21, Martha comes to Jesus and laments His not being there. Lord, if You'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary comes in verse 32 and says the same thing. And then this sentiment that it's just too late persists in verse 39 when Jesus commands that the stone be rolled away. And Martha essentially says, Lord, what are You doing? It's been days. It's too late. There'll be a smell. And Jesus answers in verse 40, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? This is a reference back to verse 4 when He said, this sickness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God, that you would believe. Jesus is saying, this sickness did not just happen. And I am not here now just to be nice or just because I love Lazarus. But it is so that you would see the glory of God, and so that you would believe. The disciples' concern here in this text illustrates the same point. In verse 7, Jesus says, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples responded, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone You. And are You going again? Are You going there again? They're just shocked that He would go right back to this place where these Jews had just tried to stone Him. They didn't yet realize that Jesus' death, as horrible as it would be, would result in the greatest display of God's glory. It would result in His resurrection and glorification. Jesus' death was not going to be some miscalculated event, the result of poor judgment and timing. It was why Jesus came. Everything is within God's plan. And God's plan is to display His glory. So expect and receive all things from God for His glory, including trials, even in you. As Jesus told Martha, believe and see the glory of God. Well, what is our confidence in this? What are we to do? Who are we to follow? Why can we follow Jesus? Well, He's clearly presented here as the light of the world. We follow Jesus as the light of the world. Look again at verses 9 and 10. Jesus responds to the disciples with this. He says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And this seems like a strange answer at first. How does this answer their problem, their question? Well, I think it's fairly simple, really, and it matches a lot of Jesus' language in the Gospel of John. He's saying, you know, in this area of the world, pretty much year-round, there are 12 hours of light in the day. And this is when you did your work. You could see what you're doing clearly. You could avoid dangers. And at night, you couldn't. That you didn't work at night. The same reason you might walk down a city alley in the middle of the day because you can see the whole way down it. You might not walk down that same alley in the pitch black of night. You can't see objects you might trip over, people who might be hiding in the shadows. Well, Jesus is in the midst of His day. He is following the Father, who is His light. And He'd be wrong to avoid His mission before His day is over. He's assured of accomplishing His mission in the Father's light. John chapter 9, verse 4, he says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." So just as Jesus walks in the light of his Father, we too walk in the light of Jesus. "I am the light of the world," he says. "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So walk in Jesus' light. If you walk in him by his light, by his word, you have nothing to fear. Some of the verses we didn't read in this chapter. Verse 26, for example, Jesus says, "You can never die. You who have trusted in Jesus, you have already died in him. You cannot fear even death." Walking in Jesus' light. So don't fear your circumstances. Don't fear the world or those who hate you and your God. Strive to know God and his will and seek his glory in everything. You can never die. You can see your way ahead. You know the ultimate end of all things. We see Jesus' confidence in this finally in verses 14 to 16. Verses 14 to 16, look there again with me. Jesus tells them clearly now, after their misunderstanding, that Lazarus has died. And he goes on, "For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him," he says. Jesus actually rejoices that Lazarus has died. For the sake of the disciples, he rejoices, even though he weeps later. He says, "Let's go to him." See, Jesus knows there are those who want to stone him in Judea. And he knows even that he will die by their hands eventually. But he also knows the end, God's glory. So he can rejoice in the means to that end, the process of bringing God's people to greater faith and trust in him. Well, our trials, too, are for God's glory, and so that you may believe, and perhaps so that someone else may believe. What was the disciples' response here? Well, Thomas responds in verse 16. He says simply, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now, Thomas' response is full of misunderstanding still in some ways. He expects Jesus to die imminently and expects himself to die along with him. He still doesn't understand that Jesus' death is necessary for him, that this is why he came. But his attitude is commendable on some level. He's ready to die even, if that's what it means to follow Christ. His way is the way of glory and reward, the way of the Father. Because of Christ, we know the ultimate end of all things. We can walk in his light. Well, Rabbi Kushner, from the beginning, could not have found the right answer, the comforting answer to his question, because he had a weak, a diminished view of God, a worthless God, really. But we serve a sovereign and all-powerful God, a creator God. We will experience joy, we'll experience sorrow, we'll experience blessings and curses. But all of these are from God and for his purposes, for his glory. And God will not ever ask you to do or endure anything for which you can't be certain that the ultimate end is his glory and your salvation. We come this afternoon to proclaim his death until he comes again as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Not even the death of the Son of God was outside the purposes of God. In fact, it was the very purpose. It is at the center of the purpose of God for all of history. And so too, none of your suffering, none of your blessing is futile. Because of this death that we celebrate, nothing God calls you to do will fail His purposes. So may it be your attitude that you would receive from the Lord, not always knowing why in an immediate sense, but knowing that the outcome of all things is the glory of God, that His glory will be shown brilliantly, even in you. So follow Jesus and see the glory of God. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you again for your word, and we ask that you would apply these things to our hearts and lives, that we would proclaim and show forth your glory to this world for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.